On Tech News Today, Facebook makes it easier to die. Twitter buys a talent agency, and Fitbit is getting a rash of complaints about rashes again. Today, I'm interviewing brilliant journalists from Slate, Fortune, and Yahoo. Don't go anywhere. Tech News Today is next.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Thursday, February 12th, 2015. This episode is brought to you by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used iPhone, iPad, and other Apple products are worth at gazelle.com. And by LegalZoom, get your life organized and protect your family with a will or a living trust. Plus, incorporate your business or form an LLC. LegalZoom is not a law firm, but can connect you with an independent attorney. Visit LegalZoom.com and use offer code TNT to receive $10 off at checkout. Tech News Today is the show where we talk about the tech news with the journalists who report it. I'm Mike Elgin. Elise Hugh is off today, and instead our co-anchor on today's show is my invisible friend, Tony. Unfortunately, I'm the only one who can hear Tony, so why don't we just jump right into the news? Facebook introduced a new legacy contact feature that lets a loved one manage your account after you die. Will Oramus wrote about the feature for Slate.com and lived to talk about it and joins us now. Hey, Will, how you doing?
I'm good. Thanks, Mike.
Now, this sounds like a pretty reasonable and pretty useful feature. How does it work exactly?
So it used to be that when somebody died, their Facebook account would, there were three options. Either you wouldn't tell Facebook that they were dead and it would just continue as if it were a live account. That's kind of awkward. Or you could send Facebook some documentation proving the person's death, and then the page could be what they called memorialized. And so it would become a memorial page to the person. People could still post on their wall and that sort of thing, but it wouldn't be treated as an active user anymore. Or you could petition to have Facebook delete their account, but that's it. That's all you could do. There was no way to manage the page or change anything about it after the person died. What Facebook introduced today is a new feature called Legacy Contacts. It gives you two options. So while you're still alive, you can choose, do I want to delete my account when I die? You know, when someone proves that I'm dead, should Facebook take down my account forever? Or do I want to designate somebody, maybe like a loved one, a family member, who, when I die, will get the keys to certain aspects of my account? They won't be able to delete my posts. They won't be able to look at my private messages, but they will be able to respond to new friend requests. So, you know, if my cousins weren't connected with on Facebook, but you know, my relatives are using Facebook to coordinate a memorial service for me, they can allow the cousins to become my friends and see my page. They can also pin a new post, so a special post, to the top of my timeline, so that when you look at my memorial page, the first thing you'll see is that post. Maybe it's announcing a memorial service or something like that. Maybe it's encouraging people to leave a memory and share some thoughts about me.
Now, I imagine that this legacy contact
is, you can change the profile photo and the cover photo. And that's actually, I think that's actually can be really important because.
I'm sorry, Will, we're having trouble with your Skype contact, and hopefully we'll get you back in just a second. But as I understand it, this legacy contact will be limited in some of the things that it can do and can't do. For example, it won't be able to go into your messages. So if you've got some private correspondence in there and you designate a legacy contact, that person won't be able to go into those messages, and certain other areas are private as well. And so we'll look forward to that feature being rolled out, and hopefully we'll have Will Oramus on another show soon. Again, Skype troubles, they happen. What are you going to do? And just so you can find Will, he's at Slate.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at Will Oramus. In just a sec, we've got some product updates for you. But first, let's talk about Gazelle. Gazelle will buy your used gadget. I've been telling you about this for a long time because I love Gazelle. You just simply go to their website. You pick the gadget that you've got laying around. You indicate its condition. And then they'll give you a price. If you like the price, and you probably will like the price, they always have such great prices, just click on the button and you get a box in the mail. You just put the device in the box and off it goes, and you get paid real money, which you can apply to your next device. And when that you get tired of that, you can sell that one to Gazelle as well. Gazelle will also sell you a device. They'll buy them, of course, but recently they started selling devices. They're certified like new. Phones and tablets are indistinguishable from a brand new device. Why should you buy the product that you don't want instead when you can afford the product that you do want by buying a certified like new device. And of course, their certified good category of devices show some gentle signs of wear, but they have really good prices. And all of these devices, no matter what kind you get, have been put through a rigorous 30-point inspection to ensure that they're fully functional. And all of them are certified and backed by a 30-day risk-free return policy. So there's literally no risk of any kind in buying from Gazelle. Find out what your iPhone's worth. Take a minute and go to gazelle.com to find out. Twitter acquired Niche, an online talent agency that negotiates deals for social media stars. They may have paid about $50 million for it. Aaron Griffith writes for Fortune and wrote about Niche and joins us now. How are you doing, Aaron?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hopefully your Skype connection will work better than Will's. Now, can you tell us more about what Niche does exactly?
So Niche, unbeknownst to a lot of people, Niche has its own sort of set of stars. So there are people on, Vine has its own set of stars. So there are people on Vine with millions and millions of followers and huge, you know, sort of like fan bases. And so those Vine stars are now brokering endorsement deals with brands. So one of the most popular guys might, you know, endorse a skateboard, or they might do a Vine with like a certain kind of HP laptop. And so those deals don't bring any money in for Twitter, but people are making money on Vine's platform. And so Niche basically helps connect those, like this guy here with the laptop. Niche basically would represent the talent here in this situation and help connect them with brands who want, you know, a bunch of these little Vines going out to all the Vine fans around the network.
Now, does Niche work with other platforms besides Vine, for example, YouTube?
Yeah, they do Instagram, I believe. And I think I actually couldn't find the latest on their site, but I know that they work with stars and influencers on a lot of different platforms. I don't know if they do Twitter or not, but Vine, I believe, was their biggest one.
Now, do you know if Twitter's going to sort of ban those non-Twitter based platforms like Instagram?
I think the plan is to keep all of Vine's other platforms on there, Niche's other platforms on Vine. Mm-hmm. So I think the company will continue to be an agency. So that way, if you're talent on Vine and you also have an Instagram following and you also have a Pinterest following or whatever, you can still work with brands across all of those. But obviously, being under the umbrella of Vine and Twitter, you know, there's going to be probably increased functionality and analytics and things that the influencers can get from those two networks.
It sounds like Twitter's finally found a way to make money on social media, which is to sell the talent on Instagram.
That's interesting, because there were a lot of questions that came up in Twitter's last earnings call about Vine, because they've owned it now for 3 years. They haven't really tried any kind of monetization on it. And this is a really interesting way, because it makes money for both of them, not just Vine. Somebody can do a sponsored Vine with one of their influencers, and then that advertiser can pay using Twitter's paid ad products to kind of promote it all across Twitter. So that kind of is an interesting way for Twitter to like drive more spending to its existing promoted posts and promoted tweets.
It seems to me that a lot of the competitive social networks are a little bit freaked out about the celebrity status that some YouTube stars have acquired. Snapchat is starting to use YouTube stars in some of their content. And now this, do you think that Vine stars or Twitter-based stars will ever reach the sort of heights of some of the big YouTube celebrities?
Yeah, you know, that's sort of interesting. I mean, I think a lot of the up-and-coming kind of stars now are realizing that it makes a lot more sense to have a following on multiple platforms, because I think a lot of the YouTube stars, some of them maybe don't like the deal that they have to give 45% of their revenue over to YouTube. And they realize, though, their following is locked in there. If they can't, like, extract all of their fans and take them over to a new platform, they have to start from scratch. So I think a lot of the new up-and-coming stars are realizing that there's a value in having a presence on YouTube and on Vine and on Instagram and on Twitter.
Erin Griffith is at Fortune.com, and you can follow her on Twitter at Erin Griffith. Thank you so much for joining us, Erin.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right. Fitness wearable maker Fitbit is getting a rash of complaints about rashes again, this time for new products that weren't supposed to cause any trouble. The company yesterday admitted that it hasn't done a good job of addressing complaints about skin irritation from its fitness trackers. Yahoo Technology columnist Arisa Breznak has both written about Fitbit rashes and suffered from them as well. Welcome to you, Alyssa.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Now, can you tell us about your own experience with Fitbit skin irritation?
Yeah. So I was reviewing the product, and after about a day or two having it on my wrist, I developed a weird irritation. And I'm not one of those people who gets really irritated with nickel or any sort of jewelry, and I'm a generally clean person, and yet it happened. And so I actually contacted Fitbit, asked them about why this was happening to me, and they sort of suggested that I needed to clean the area underneath the wearable. I needed to make sure that I took breaks from it. And now in their most official statement that they released yesterday, they are saying that you need to take a break from your wearable, which is a weird thing to say about something you're supposed to wear 24/7.
Yeah, definitely. They're also saying that, they consulted with dermatologists, so they're falling back and sort of bringing in expert opinion, saying that it's not really them. It's just the nature of having something lash to your wrist all the time. But this is a real problem. Is this something that's specific to Fitbit, do you think? Or is this a problem for fitness smartwatches generally? Is this something that's going to plague us now that we move into the wearables era?
I do think that some people are just not used to wearing something on their arm. And so there might not be a general knowledge of how to care for it. That being said, I've used the Jawbone Up numerous times for long periods of time, and nothing like this has ever happened to me. And I was actually, not very good about cleaning it or anything like that. So, and also just the pictures you see from Fitbit. There may be like a small number of complaints for Jawbone rashes, but the ones for Fitbit are particularly nasty. I'm glad that I didn't experience some of the more puffy red symptoms that you see online. But there's also the issue that Fitbit recalled a line of the Force Fitbit before any of this. So this new line was supposed to be like super rash free, and that is not the case.
I wonder what the solution is. I guess the solution is to wear a wearable computer around your face, but I guess that didn't work so well either. Alyssa Bereznak is at yahoo.com, and you can follow her on Twitter at Alyssa Bereznak. It's just like it sounds. Thanks for joining us, Alyssa.
Thanks.
All right. Apple has come up with a social solution to the problem of how users discover iOS apps in the App Store, which is to make them available for download on Pinterest. The companies are unveiling today a new product called App Pins, which is a Pinterest board for discovering and pinning iOS apps. Most importantly, apps can be downloaded directly from Pinterest without having to go to the iTunes or the Apple version of the App Store. Pretty cool. I really like this solution because, of course, the pin board look is really kind of perfect for discovering apps. And, of course, people can pin them and share them and so on. So it basically makes it social and viral. Really great idea. And this is all part of Apple's Any Social Network Except Google Plus policy. YouTube is testing a new feature called YouTube Radio, according to a post on the Google Operating System blog. In the secret test, Google calls the feature a nonstop radio station based on the current video. You can like, dislike, and dismiss videos to customize each radio station you create. This is really like, Pandora for YouTube, really. You basically start with a video, you like this kind of thing, you can create a station around it. Of course, this isn't shipping yet. This is a test, and we can expect something like this to come out pretty soon. In mergers and acquisitions, Microsoft is buying an Israeli digital pen company called Entrig. That's N-T-R-I-G. The company makes both pens and chips for use with touchscreens. The price was at least $200 million, and the company's 190 employees will form a new R&D center for Microsoft in Israel. Microsoft always believed in the pen stylish thing, and there's some indication that now Apple is going to be getting into the pen market as well. Well, there's big consolidation in the online travel industry today. Expedia agreed today to buy Orbitz Worldwide for about $1.3 billion. Expedia already owns brands like Travelocity, Hotels.com, Hotwire, and others, while Orbitz owns sites like eBookers.com and CheapTickets.com. They did not get this on CheapAcquisitions.com. That site doesn't exist. In government crackdowns, we told you about mobile chip giant Qualcomm's recent $975 million settlement with the Chinese government. Now Korea's Fair Trade Commission is investigating Qualcomm for alleged antitrust abuses. Qualcomm is also dealing with antitrust probes in the United States and Europe. In hiring, firing, and poaching, Dropbox is replacing CFO Sujay Jaswal with former Motorola Mobility CFO Vanessa Wittman, according to Recode. And in earnings, Tesla reported a fourth quarter loss of $108 million, missing estimates. They said they'd do better in the future, though, and expect to deliver 55,000 cars this year. After the earnings call, CEO Elon Musk bragged that Tesla's market cap in 10 years could approach Apple's. The biggest bombshell, though, is that Musk announced a Tesla home battery. The battery would work with solar panels to get people off the electric grid completely. The home battery would be unveiled within the next month or two and go on production in about 6 months, according to Musk. Well, we got some big numbers for you. $1.3 trillion. That's how many dollars activist investor and major Apple shareholder Carl Icahn says Apple is worth. Specifically, he said it's worth $216 per share. The stock market disagrees and currently values the company at a mere $700 billion or so. Okay, another big number, $1 billion. That's how many data records were compromised in 2014 in about 1,500 hack attacks, according to a new report by digital security firm Gemalto. That's a 78% increase in the number of data records either lost or stolen over 2013. Data records are defined as chunks of personal information like email addresses, names, passwords, banking details, health records, and social security numbers. Okay, one more big number, 720,000. That's how many Android Wear devices shipped in 2014, according to Canalys. I don't know if that's a big number or a small number. It seems like a pretty big number, but there it is, about 750,000. Well, the news you can lose, Apple released a video showing progress on the construction of its spaceship campus headquarters in Cupertino, California. Let's take a look at this very, very cool video. Now, right now, this is a drone footage looking at a four-story parking structure, which is right now, you see those buildings, if you're watching the video on the left and the top, that is an apartment complex that refused to sell to Apple. That was supposed to be part of the spaceship campus property, but they held out, and now it's the ultimate place for people who are Apple fanboys to live. So now we're looking at that trench. That circular trench is where the big spaceship is going to go. And it basically goes underground and also above the ground. So what we're looking there now is the underground portion has been dug out and it's been cemented. And then there's a tunnel entrance from the street to get into the facility. Anyway, this video goes on and on. This is a really cool video. Check it out. It'll be in our show notes. And you can check out that video. Very cool stuff. Speaking of cool stuff, Google Japan has started a choir. But it's not made up of humans. Instead, they put together 300 Android phones and tablets, each with its own animated character and each singing a different part. Check this out. Okay, they're showing a bunch of phones and tablets being wired together. Google Japan is like writing a bunch of code. Each one has a little sort of animated Android robot version who's going to be a singer. 300 is a lot of devices. They got them all over the place with cables going in every which way. And they're setting them up in a big choir setup. Man, looks expensive. And here's what it sounds like. I said, here's what it sounds like. I guess Google has nothing better to do. This is really elaborate. Solo there. Yeah. Very nice. Very nice. I think I'm going to buy 300 Android devices and build my own. I don't see that happening, frankly. Well, we got to wrap up for you coming up, but first let's talk about LegalZoom. You got to get your life organized, and that means starting with protecting your family, and LegalZoom is the best place to do that. You can build a will. Lots of people don't form a will because it's expensive and time-consuming and difficult, and LegalZoom, of course, makes it easy and inexpensive. You can also do a living trust. LegalZoom can help you no matter what sort of legal needs you need. You can get your life organized, start a business. If you already have a business, they'll help you with all the documents and legal issues that you may need to do at pennies on the dollar because, of course, lawyers are super expensive, and you don't need a lawyer for most of this kind of thing. And, you know, one of the things I love about LegalZoom is the fact that lots of people don't do the things that they should do, whether it's with their business or their family. They say, yeah, someday I should do that. I should do this, that, the other thing. LegalZoom, you should go to the site, LegalZoom.com. Check it out. See what's possible. See how affordable it is. And you'll do the stuff that we should all be doing, whether it's, you know, for your personal life or for business. Don't wait any longer to organize your life. Just go to LegalZoom.com. Use the offer code TNT to get $10 off at checkout. And for legal help you can count on for your family or small business, go to LegalZoom.com today. And remember to use the offer code TNT, again, for $10 off your order. And we thank LegalZoom for their support of Tech News Today. Our TNT fan of the day is Brett Young in Virginia, who posted this picture on Twitter. He says he watches the show while he works. What is it about our audience, Jason, where these people have a million screens? Of course, what am I talking to you for? That you've got a million screens too. But look at this. I mean, it's just incredible how many windows he's got open right there. And he's also got the sort of pen-based device in the front, I think otherwise known as a paper notebook. It's a solid-state device. It's pen-oriented. Yeah. That's a cool workstation. And we're right in the middle, our special spot of honor. Very cool. How do you watch or listen to TNT? Just record a video or take a picture of yourself or your setup and post it on Google+, Twitter, or Facebook. Use the hashtag #HowIWatchTNT, and we will find it. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the Tech News Today. Thank you to my invisible friend, Tony, for co-anchoring today. You can subscribe to, yeah, thanks, Tony. You can subscribe to Tech News Today on Feedly, or just go to twit.tv/TNT and pick your favorite way to subscribe. You can also watch us live every weekday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, 1800 UTC, at live.twit.tv or on the app or browser plugin of your choice. If you're ever in California's wine country, come on in and watch us live. And you can follow us on Twitter at Tech News Today TV. If you're a Tech News fan, and I know you are, come hang out with us in our Google+ community. Just search Google+ for Tech News Today and you'll find the community. You can also follow me on Twitter at Mike Elgin. And please tell us what's on your mind at TNT@twit.tv or call 260-TNT-SHOW. Don't miss our evening newscast, Tech News Tonight at 4 p.m. Pacific tonight and every weeknight right here on the Twit Network. My name's Mike Elgin. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow.